Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
World's largest pistachio in New Mexico to the world's largest ball of twine in Kansas. We Americans have a fascination with the idea that bigger is better. So why not our own flag? I don't see any doubt that there would be people who would appreciate it.
I guess everyone wants to talk about the flag. I have 11 children, so my theory is always go big or go home. So that's my input. Let's do it. Let's show the world what Santa Rosa County stands for, which hopefully is the United States of America and the flag.
If you can't feel good about funding a huge American flag in Santa Rosa County, I gotta wonder why in heaven's name are you even here in this Christian conservative county at all?
I am all for having a flag flying that would be one of the largest in the nation and possibly the world, inspiring people as they pass through or live here. My suggestions are to find ways to fund without burdening the taxpayers. Use taxpayer money to help the people of Santa Rosa County.
The size of the flag has not a darn thing to do with your patriotism. It really doesn't. Those guys at Iwo Jima, they didn't have a big flag. They had what they had.
So, as you would not be surprised at all to find out, there were some opinions about the potential $300,000 being used to fund the erection and installation of a 207-foot flag at the Santa Rosa County Administrative Complex in Milton. Oh, man. I find stuff like this fascinating because, as a, you know, political scientist, philosopher, social observer, whatever, It's interesting to see how vehement people can become about something that, you know, is a symbol and just a symbol and an important symbol, but an expensive symbol. And as we've said many times, clearly an election year stunt from a guy who is notorious for pulling stunts to try to get elected. You can't even dispute that analysis. And yet, I love a big flag, too. You know, I really, I felt quite a lot of sympathy for the idea that, you know, when you go see something like this, it's inspiring. Or when you go past something like this, it's inspiring. Dave Crumbly?
There's a business, Camping World, that has a huge flag down there on 98. And I travel by there all the time. And when I see that flag, especially when the wind's blowing, it does. It sometimes sends chills up my spine.
Me, too.
Beautiful. But, you know, what I don't do is I don't stop, pull over, and look at it. And I don't think in the history of vacations a father's ever turned to his family and said, hey, kids, pack your bags. We're going to go down here and look at a big flag. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's the analysis, right? The real question here is not do you like the idea of having a big flag. I mean, everybody likes the idea of having a huge flag if it's free, right? No, I don't want a big flag. Well, okay, you know, leave the country. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, right? You know, that's fine. You can have a view. I'm sure there's a few people who hate the country, hate America, hate the flag. And that's, hey, you know, one of the great things about America is there's room for you too. I mean, we're not going to be close friends, but, you know, you're allowed to stay. I'm joking about get out. But that's not the issue. The issue is who should pay to install the giant symbol of patriotic, spine-chilling happiness. And if it's going to be a government installation, where should it be located? At the Milton, you know, administrative complex where nobody's going to see it except for that it's really tall. Is it tourism eligible? That was the big question yesterday. Can you use tourism development tax money on this? The clerk of the court and the comptroller, Don Spencer, you know, they go through all of this rigmarole. And then finally, at you know, I mean, we're like an hour into this conversation, and Don Spencer's like,
Florida laws are very restrictive on what TDT funds can be spent on. They're trying to address this in the legislature, but it hasn't been solved yet. I want the board to know that I'm not against this flag, but I really can't justify spending tourist development tax for the funding of this flag. If the board wants the flag, they need to use another funding source.
So we're done, right? Oh, no. We're not done at all. Because James Calkins then proceeds to try to explain to Donnie Spencer for like 20 minutes of rambling argumentation, I guess you'd call it, that he's wrong. He doesn't understand the rules or the law. And it, by the way, a tourism development tax isn't even taxpayer money. I mean, it's not like the word tax is in the tourism development tax, so it's not taxpayer money. He thinks it's tourist money, which is different from tech. I kid you not.
The good news about the tourism funds, the best thing about it, it's not Santa Rosa County taxpayers. It's the tourists that pay bed tax at the hotel. It's not us. It's not. That is the best. So when people say taxpayer money.
Anybody from the North End ever go out on Navarre Beach and rent a condo for a week? I mean, he's right in general. It's more likely to be people from outside of the area. But non-resident doesn't mean non-taxpayer, and it's still public money. We still have an obligation to use it wisely. And whether you think, you know, $150,000 and 30 a year, or $300,000 and 30 a year, or $1 million and 30 a year is, you know, a good or a bad use, compared to the other things we spend money on, it's really not that much. And I've said this many times that, you know, this is an issue that's just kind of funny because on the one hand, $300,000 seems like a ridiculous amount of money to spend on, you know, a giant pole and a flag. And yet, it's not all that much in the grand scheme of things. It doesn't really buy you that much other stuff. Not really. And it probably would enhance tourism, which is different from saying that you would bring people here. Now, James Calkins wants to continuously argue yesterday that people would absolutely come here from somewhere else. They would absolutely take time out of their day. I mean, shoot, Fox News even sent us an email.
Fox News, actually, the news channel, sent an email interested in this. You want to talk about promoting tourism? That right there will show the nation that Santa Rosa County is patriotic, and that will bring tourists from the United States to our area.
Well, how do you know that tourists are going to come here? I got an email from Fox News. Case closed. Your Honor, I boot for summary judgment. I mean,
Peter Ducey slid into my DMs.
It's probably just some, you know, 22-year-old producer saw the story on some aggregator site, and he's like, oh, this looks like it might be interesting. I'll see if I can send an email. I mean, you know, just whatever. But even though I tend to share the concern or criticism or uncertainty of many of the speakers that this would necessarily generate tourism activity inside of Santa Rosa County, I also think that I think it was Sam Parker had made the comment yesterday. He said that it might not necessarily bring a new person in, but it's an enhancement. You know, it's an extra. It does make us more of a tourist place, which is, I think, is the right way to look at it. It's the kind of thing that sort of while you're here, you know, and while you're here is enough to be tourism related. So in the end, okay, and they were, you know, really asking this question about would we be able to fund it with tourism money? Because if you can't fund it with tourism money, there didn't seem to be any real appetite to spend taxpayer ad valorem general budget money on this item. If that was going to be the case, if you can't do tourism money, then it's probably going to have to be funded privately. And several of the commissioners even brought that up. I mean, Colton Wright said, oh, look, I, you know, my business, the Tool Shack, I'll put $1,000 in. We'll do it privately. Sam Parker, I'll put $1,000 in. And, you know, there's kind of a joke. It's like, we'll all put $1,000 in. And, you know, heck, it's your program. You'll put two in. Sure, right, James?
I'll be the number two guy. Right after you give your $1,000 check, I will give $1,000 personally. I bet you'd get the same pledge from my fellow commissioner. You're $5,000 towards it right there. And you can put $2,000. It was your idea. Now we're $6,000 towards it.
And, look, everybody is fine with it being privately funded. Who could possibly object to that? So in the end, what they decided to do is basically send it over to the Tourism Development Council Commission. I always forget what's the committee, what the C stands for. It doesn't really matter. They're the ones who are supposed to be the first stop when you're trying to figure out how to spend TDT money. And let them think about, well, what would satisfy the statute? What would let Don Spencer be willing to sign the check? Because he said he would not sign the check even if they ratified it. And then, you know, you can start thinking about things like, what's the right location? And is the location there right? It's not. Where should it be? You know, where's a place that has the right soil that you could really put this flagpole in? Are we talking on 87 while you're going on your way to Navarre Beach? Are we talking about on I-10? You know, that's really how this should have happened in the first place. Is, you know, Commissioner Calkin should have just kind of gone to the TDT or TDC and said, hey, I've got this idea. Why don't you guys work on it a little while and then bring it to us? But, you know, since it's a grandstand for political purpose, that's just not how this all went down. So that's how it ended. It ended with a whimper, not a bang. It didn't go away. It didn't get solved. It, you know, there was a lot of strong emotions and strong statements. And they're going to kind of keep working on it, which is fine. That's kind of how, you know, contentious issues are supposed to work. Don't just dismiss it. Don't just rubber stamp it. But, you know, figure out a way you can get to a yes that as few people as possible are going to be furious about. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and if you are in the market or, you know, thinking about that next vehicle and trying to decide where to go, I recommend Frontier Motors. We bought a Honda Odyssey from them several years ago, and it was the best car buying experience I've ever had. And, you know, I haven't bought a ton of cars, but, you know, bought enough that I know what it feels like to go to a place where you feel like, oh, man, I got out of there with my skin, thank God. And I know what it feels like to go to a place like Frontier where I'm like, you know, how soon can I come back and buy another car? Because the way you treated me, the way you priced things, the way you handled negotiations, the follow-up you had after we bought the car to make sure everything was good, even as much as a year later, fixing something that you weren't obligated to fix, but that you did anyway at no cost to me. I mean, that kind of stuff is that, you know, teaches me something about you. And there's loads of people that have had that same exact experience here in the greater Pensacola area. That's why you see all those license plate frames and bumper stickers when you're driving around. So I recommend Frontier Motors. They're right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. And when you go there, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Mex Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Get news at the top and bottom of every hour with WEAR-TV, our local news team, and Fox News on News Radio Pensacola.
Oh, baby, you are so talented, and they are so dumb.
have gone viral, especially on TikTok. The limited edition tiny bags, which originally cost just around $3, are going for hundreds on eBay. One listing is selling all four colors for nearly $1,000.
I just don't even know what to say about all that. People are paying hundreds of dollars to get these mini totes from Trader Joe's, including a matched set. Can you wear all four when you go to the store? I mean, I don't know. I find, you know, there's a lot of times when I come across a story and I think I fully understand human beings. And then there are a lot of times when I come across a story and I'm like, I don't understand people at all. This is amazing to me that people will not just care about their, what, coolness signal fashion accessory, the Trader Joe's tote, but care so much that they would go out of their way to spend hundreds of dollars to be the cool kid at the grocery store with the, I mean, it's okay.
Ridiculous.
But, you know, but to be fair, in the sense of, like, Andrew doesn't understand things, I still don't really understand the Stanley Cup thing. You know, this kind of stuff, just, it's okay. People have their stuff, and that's, you know, look, people are interesting. If they weren't interesting, they couldn't surprise you. And if they couldn't surprise you, life would be pretty boring. 526 on News Radio 92.3. So go get yours today. They're available on eBay, apparently. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David, do you have your...
You lived through the Beanie Baby craze, and this surprises you?
Having people fight over Tickle Me Elmo, I mean, at least I understand that that's because your kids are up your stuff trying to make sure that they can get the newest toy. This is self-inflicted.
Right.
You know,
there's always
adults.
Always,
well, maybe
something.
These are the adults that were wailing, crying and screaming for the Tickle Me Elmo back in the day.
It could be.
And now they've got their own money to spend on. And if they want to spend it on something like this, hey, you know, great.
Hey, can I borrow some money? I spent all mine on eBay. Just saying. Severe weather took a toll on a number of states yesterday with reports of tornadoes in Indiana, Kentucky, and Ohio. In Indiana, there were some reports of deaths from these tornadoes, but officials are now saying that that may not be the case. They, in an overnight press conference, they said they're still working to confirm whether there were any weather-related deaths there. The Michigan father charged in connection with a deadly school shooting carried out by his son has been found guilty. James Crumbly was found guilty on four counts of involuntary manslaughter in the deaths of the four students in 2021. The shooter's mother, Jennifer Crumbly, was already found guilty on those same charges.
This is the first time, I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is the first time parents have been held legally culpable,
yes,
for failing to stop their child before he engages in a mass shooting. And that is I can't disagree, you know, with the responsibility analysis. And
I believe they had purchased the gun that
right,
was used
right.
to and everything. Yeah,
and there were lots of other signals and lots of other weird behaviors and stuff at school. I mean, this is not a, you know, oh, how could they have known? No, they should have known. It's an interesting case because, as one of the prosecutor, I think, said, the dad is not being convicted because of what the son did. He's being convicted because of what the dad didn't do.
Right.
You know, and so it is the failure or negligence or whatever you want to call it to act to stop a threat that he certainly had the capacity to influence. That's what the charge. It's just, I mean, it's a very, very interesting case. Go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted your newscast.
Oh, that's all right. And SpaceX is now calling its latest test of the Starship rocket a success, although it did have a bit of a disappointing ending. The previous two launches ended with the ships exploding. But yesterday, they were able to get the rocket into space. Unfortunately, it did break up during reentry.
All right, very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. Somebody texts in, don't you remember Pet Rocks? That's a little bit before my time, but I've heard of it. Barely before my time. I wouldn't, you know, to get the four varieties. Anyway.
My mom took a Sharpie out into the parking lot, and I got my Pet
you
Rock.
You got your Pet Rock. There you go, with your own face. Make it yourself.
$1,000 for a tote.
Hey, if you have a hardware project, you know, you're doing a remodel or just a repair, or you're expanding, or, you know, maybe you build things for a living. I don't know what level you're at. Pensacola Hardware, they've got your stuff. They've got your supplies, okay? They're going to have it in stock. They're not going to have to order. That's one of the things about them that's kind of interesting is you might think I'm going to go to the hardware store. Maybe they don't have it. They will have it. If they don't have it, you don't need it. And seriously, they have a huge back room full of stuff from like 100 years worth of you know, surplus hardware and things. But anyway, they've got it. Also, they've got the advice. You can go and ask them genuinely. They will be the expert. And, you know, if the one person you manage to ask doesn't know, they will definitely find you somebody who knows, because they know. They've been doing this since 1851, helping Pensacolians build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola for more than 173 years. It's kind of amazing. Right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. Pensacola Hardware. Go stop by this weekend.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. There's destruction from tornadoes in Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky. There are reports of at least 4 to 6 deaths in Ohio from Fox affiliates in Cleveland and Columbus in Indiana.
There have been many, many significant injuries.
State Police Superintendent Doug Carter. Both parents of a Michigan high school shooter are now convicted of manslaughter.
A jury finding the 47-year-old guilty of involuntary manslaughter for his role in his son's 2021 shooting at Oxford High School that left 4 dead. Crumbly's wife, Jennifer, convicted of the same charges. Prosecutors argued the parents failed to secure the gun and missed warning signs that then 15-year-old was struggling with mental health. Both will be sentenced on April 9th. Their son, Ethan, sentenced to life in prison, convicted of murder and terrorism.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. There are McDonald's restaurants closed across Europe, Asia, and Australia because of a system failure knocking out online and kiosk ordering. You have to order at the counter, then that person tells someone in the kitchen what to cook, just like old times. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 68 degrees right now in Pensacola, mostly cloudy skies today. The Florida Highway Patrol says an 83-year-old man died yesterday morning in a crash on Mobile Highway. Troopers say that man was leaving the Walmart parking lot when he pulled out into the path of a Volkswagen. The man was taken to a hospital where he was pronounced dead. Much-needed improvements to the intersection of Highway 90 and Woodbine Road in Pace will begin soon. Yesterday, the Santa Rosa Commissioners approved a contract with Panhandle Grading and Paving for over $6 million in work.
It's going to make significant improvements there to help traffic flow, particularly flowing south off Woodbine onto Highway 90, headed back west into Pensacola, having the ability to have a constant right turn lane with no stopping.
Commissioner Colton Wright says in addition to the road widening, crews will also be constructing a new stormwater pond there. Well, after nearly a year of negotiations, the Santa Rosa School District now has a contract agreement with its teachers union. In a video message to teachers union president David Godwin says they were forced to settle as an attorney for the school district sought a hearing with a special magistrate for the summer.
He sent a letter to PERC informing them of their choice for a special magistrate. And guys, SRP never had any intention of going to a special magistrate because we wouldn't have come to a decision until late in the summer, maybe at the start of next school year. We would have gone way past the deadline for the TESA money to be distributed.
Godwin says the average salary increase for teachers amounts to about 3.87%, with 2.07% of that coming from the school board. The remaining funds will come from the state as part of Governor DeSantis's effort to increase teacher pay statewide. Governor DeSantis deploying troops to South Florida and the Keys, the goal preventing mass migration from Haiti during the gang takeover of the island nation. State Representative and Haitian native Bernard Jacques says the governor needed to act because the federal government wasn't.
A lot of times as states, we feel helpless because primarily immigration has been a federal issue. Seeing states like Florida and Texas have had to take steps because the federal government has been failing. So where the federal government fails, Florida and other states have led.
And Jacques says the state wants to help the suffering Haitians, but they also need to prevent gang members from accessing Florida's shores. And speaking of Haiti, there's also now a way for Floridians that are stuck in Haiti to contact state officials. The Florida Division of Emergency Management launched an online portal yesterday. Floridians in Haiti or their family members can go to floridadisaster.org/Haiti and fill out a questionnaire. They'll be asked to let the state know about their immediate needs. Emergency Management Director Kevin Guthrie says that the state will do everything possible to help Floridians and Americans in need of help. It is 5:34, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
A couple of rain chances ahead as we end the work week and head into the weekend. Here on Friday, we have a scattered thunderstorm chance, a couple showers too during the afternoon and evening hours. On Saturday, that rain chance drops down considerably, but it comes right back up on Sunday during the afternoon and evening as well. Sunday, we could even see some stronger storms move through the area as highs continue in the upper 70s through the weekend. That's your weather forecast for now. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer here at WEAR News.
And right now, it is cloudy, 68 in Pensacola, 67 in Gulf Breeze, 69 in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
It's the biggest party of the year, coming April 6th.
Pensacola Little Theater presents Cabaret. Express yourself. Come paint the town red. Pensacola Little Theater transforms the entire building and the surrounding block into an indoor and outdoor entertainment complex for one unforgettable night. You'll find yourself winding through the bands, DJs, flash mobs, ballerinas, singers, dancers, and so much more, including 6 open bars and culinary art. Don't miss the biggest party of the year, Cabaret.
Get your tickets now at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
Tax season is here, and it's time to turn your refund into peace of mind with Jim's Firearms. Jim's Firearms is your go-to destination for top-notch personal protection. You're also going to want to secure your spot for one of their upcoming concealed carry classes. Use your refund wisely and invest in safety. Check out their wide selection online at jimsfirearms.net or visit the store in Pensacola at the corner of Sereno Road and Blue Angel Parkway. Jim's Firearms, protecting what matters most.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Press went hot in Pensacola, Florida, and visited the City Hall.
Hello, welcome to the City Hall. I'm security Henry Stromans. How can I help with service? You have an appointment or anything?
Yeah.
If you go in the elevator without permission, you will be arrested.
Oh,
just
really?
Keep your hands up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is a mayor office. It's not like public demand to get the office.
The way it works is I hit the button and it opens up.
The badge, you gotta have a visitor pass.
Oh.
All right, let me call the cops, but I kind of helped you, sir.
So, in case you did not see the video, and I don't recommend you watch it, it's 35 minutes of your life you'll never get back, but a group called Georgia Transparency that likes to engage in, you know, shock clickbait type videos where they're trying to provoke a reaction from, you know, public employees by going to places and trying to get access to areas that they're not really supposed to be in and then seeing what happens. They came to Pensacola City Hall on Monday. And security guard Henry, poor security guard Henry, it's probably his, I'm guessing like his first day or maybe not on the job all that long is my own guess. Let's just say he tried hard and he did not handle it all the best. But, you know, there was a lot of drama going to the wrong floor. Pensacola police chief was involved. Nobody got pushed or shoved. Eventually they, you know, skulked away, I guess. But it was a long video, honestly. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, though, with Pensacola Public Information Officer for Pensacola Police Department, Mike Wood. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, obviously, you have seen this video. You know, you had Chief of Police was involved in this, you know, sort of throughout, and then a couple of your other law enforcement officers showed up, which is appropriate. Your assessment?
The Pensacola Police Department, including the Chief of Police, did very well. They maintained their composure. And if you look at some of these other videos, that's not the case with other encounters with these type people. So the Chief and the officers there, they answered the questions. They didn't go for the bait. And so it worked out well for us.
Yeah, I would have preferred a little more clarity by the, you know, City Hall security staff. But clearly these folks were trying to cause a problem. And, you know, they're kind of like the TMZ, like they couldn't get a job at TMZ, so they come and do this for a living. But also, I have questions about, you know, what are the sort of constitutional limits of being able to create a security space around a public facility like this?
Well, it's a public facility, true enough, but there has to be a modicum of security there. People get upset at police departments, law enforcement agencies, city hall, and they could go in there at any time with waving a firearm. So you have to have, even though it's a public building, public space, you still have to have some security there, and you have to have rules to protect the people that work there. And that's what those rules are in place for.
One of the things that I was uncertain about while I was watching is, you know, obviously, if you are a sworn law enforcement officer, you can use force to create safety, to protect people, and obviously to enforce the law. You can go hands on, and, you know, typically is the phrase you use. But I was wondering, to what degree would the city employees have been justified in themselves using force to protect a secure area against people like this? You know, there's obviously some point at which you're allowed to use pushing and shoving or more, but when does that point come? Obviously, if they feel like they're in the threat of physical danger, bodily harm, I totally get that. I mean, you can go as high as using a gun to defend in that case, depending on the level of the threat. But at what point would these employees have been allowed to, you know, to grab a hand and move somebody away and back to the elevator?
Well, they have the same rights as an average citizen does. Just because they're a security guard does not give them any more.
Right.
You have to be in a sworn position in order to have more than that. So they can do what is legal for any citizen to do, and that's to protect themselves or someone else with a reasonable amount of force, should that be necessary.
So if they're just talking, you pretty much just have to take it until the cops come to trespass them. Because you can't trespass somebody with force yourself off of, like, your government property or your house? I just don't know the answer to this, so I'm curious.
Yeah, the law enforcement officer needs to be there. They need to be warned against trespassing in front of the law enforcement officer. A little bit of paperwork is done, and then it becomes official. We can't do that on our own. We have to have someone from that building, in this case City Hall, warn them in front of us not to return to make it legal.
Is that even true, like, on my porch? Or, like, I mean, if God forbid somebody gets into my foyer, they're not threatening, they're just obnoxious, and they're not willing to leave. I can't just knock him out and take him outside? Because I'm telling you, that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's probably not a good idea. Don't do that.
Okay.
But if you have the right on private property to decide who is able to come there and not, and if somebody again and again approaches you or comes to your property, then you can certainly have them trespass warned against returning.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, sometimes the law, as we know, doesn't give you what you would think common sense would allow you to do, but that's why I wanted to ask, because I didn't really know the answer to the question. And, you know, I know you guys do training, right? And if people, like, I assume if there's a government entity that is not sure that their staff is up to speed on this, you guys will help them understand the law and train them how to respond?
Yeah, these type things are going to keep happening. Mostly they pick on government buildings to do this. And like you said, they're looking for confrontation. And if they don't get it, they just get bored and they leave. So, you know, they don't have a whole lot to do. So they do this. And I was warned by a PIO in Georgia that these folks may head our way a couple of months ago, and he was right. So, you know, train your people on this. Let them know that, you know, they are entitled to go to public spaces, but if you have security rules in place, they also have to abide by those. And if not, then they're going to summon law enforcement, and we train our people in handling these type situations, as you can clearly see on that video.
We had a car versus a building this morning, is that right, on South Palafox?
Yeah, that was yesterday. It was at 850 South Palafox, or yesterday evening, and a vehicle hit that building down there, which is a building that has several different businesses in it. I believe they were doing an investigation for possible DUI on that. I'm not sure how that turned out, but fortunately, no injuries, nothing serious going on. And the incident that you were just speaking of on 12th Avenue, that too was caused by a crash earlier this morning into a utility pole. So hopefully they'll have that fixed and those lanes opened up quickly.
Oh, so that was a crash this morning. That wasn't just routine maintenance that they've been doing all over town recently. That was the result of an incident?
Yes, it was.
Okay. All right. Well, everybody okay? Do we know?
I don't know the extent of the injuries on it. I do know that there's no life-threatening injuries.
Okay, well, that's good news. You guys also had an officer that was involved in a crash not too long, a couple days ago on Bayou.
Yeah, he was en route to a burglary in progress call. He had his lights and siren activated, and when he approached the intersection of Hyde Park, a vehicle made a left turn in front of him, and a collision occurred, and that other vehicle, I believe it was a Jeep, overturned on its side, and fortunately for the officer and those in the Jeep, the injuries were not life-threatening. In fact, they were minor, so we're glad to be able to say that, but you know, again, it's a dangerous profession that we're in. We need to get to these calls in a hurry, but we got to be safe doing it. And sometimes the collisions are going to happen, and we're just fortunate here that the injuries were minor.
And was the other driver cited? Do you know?
No, I don't know if there was a citation issued in that crash or not.
Okay, but it is, like you say, it's a good reminder that, you know, lights on and sirens is a very, I mean, that's, of the routine things you do, that's the most dangerous routine thing you do, right? I mean, because you just, people miss the signals.
Yeah,
they don't do what they're supposed to do.
And officers, the officers are looking for this type of thing. They have to drive defensively. And, Andrew, the way they're building cars nowadays, the way they're insulated, as loud as the systems that come in those, the radios that come in those vehicles can get, it's very difficult to hear a siren until it's right on top of you. So you've got to pay attention and make sure that if everything is clear. Every time you make a turn, pull out into an intersection, look both ways. And it's like I always say, even approaching an intersection with a red light or a green light, look at that light and tell yourself in your mind, is it red or green? Because sometimes you'll see one thing, but you do something else, and that's what results in collisions.
Last thing that I wanted to ask you about, we always like to end with a cop myth. The one I've got for you today is, and I think we've probably talked about this before, but I cannot remember, so I might as well ask again. If somebody is running away from you guys, let's say going north on, I don't know, Davis Highway out of the city, or they're going north on US 29 towards the border with Alabama, where or when does police jurisdiction end, or is that purely a myth of the movies?
Well, it's not like baseball. When you get to home plate, which is the state line, you're safe. We're going to continue to pursue. And once we get over there, if we get into Alabama, then and we're able to get that vehicle stopped or that person who's fleeing on foot stopped, we're going to make an arrest over there because it's called fresh pursuit, and we're able to keep going. A lot of times it just depends on the situation, what the crime is, what the person's wanted for. But, we don't go to the state line in a chase and then go, golly darn, they made it to Alabama, and then turn around and go home. That's not the way it works.
Well, that's very reassuring. And once again, we find out that maybe every once in a while, not TV and movies are the experts on anything. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time. Thanks for helping keep us safe, and I appreciate it. So we'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. 547 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And, you know, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, trying to decide whether that's the right choice for you right now, and even just maybe you're in the very early phases of kind of considering it, you know, like you've started to think that maybe renting is not a great solution, or maybe, you know, you're looking at getting married, or maybe you just, you know, don't want to live in your parents' house anymore. I don't know. Everybody's in a different situation. But that first time can be daunting, right? I mean, there's a lot to go into buying a house, and you want to make sure that you do it right. Well, hey, call Christina. She'll take you through that process. No problem. And if she talks with you and thinks, like, maybe it's probably not the best thing for you right now, she'll tell you that too. And that's true whether you're selling or buying. You know, I know she's told people that before. And, you know, look, she'll do what you want. She's a professional service agent. But the point is, she will help you figure this out for yourself. You know, what about interest rates? What are they doing? What's the market doing? When's the right time? Now, later? What? Okay, yes, all of that. Even on new builds, you know, she can help you figure out whether there's a better way to, you know, maybe they'll buy down your points. It's a very common thing. Even on new builds, you might not think that, but that's why you hire a realtor. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty sold 175 homes last year. Give her a call today, 723-9158.
One weekend, nine incredible events. From Molino to North Pace, from Beulah to downtown Pensacola, we have something for everyone this Easter. Join us for one of our fun-filled egg hunts on Saturday, March 3rd, or one of the powerful services on Sunday, March 31st. Discover more at PensacolaEaster.org. That's PensacolaEaster.org. Celebrate the joy of Easter with Marcus Point Baptist Church.
Join Lakeview Center's Cindy McLaughlin, Specialty Program Manager, this Wednesday at 10 for their show about opioid overdose awareness. What you need to know about opioids. How fentanyl cannot be easily detected in opioids. Help is available for support and free Narcan. Plan to tune in and contact Lakeview Center's OPUS program. Visit elakeviewcenter.org.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Exciting news, the data revolution is on the rise once again. Data Revolution is seeking a second-tier engineer with at least 2 to 3 years of experience in IT, networks, voice over IP, and cybersecurity. Data Revolution's competitive salary is based on experience, and their comprehensive benefit packages include a medical stipend, matching 401k, flexible work hours, starting with 3 weeks of PTO, 10 paid holidays, profit sharing, and more. This is not remote or work from home. To learn more about this opportunity, send your resume to resume@datarevs.com.
My name is Tasca, and I started working here 20 years ago.
I'm Diana, and it's been 12 years for me.
Hi, I'm Norma, and 20 years is my number.
I'm Sandy, and it's been 9 years for me.
And I'm Jeff, and I'm the General Sales Manager, and I'm inviting you to join our sales team here at News Radio 92.3. If you have sales experience and desire for a career that is fun, exciting, while working with local and regional businesses and with an uncapped income, we would like to hear from you. Send your resume to hr@newsradio1620.com. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Want to get Capone? Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way. And that's how you get Capone.
If you think you can find the passion and you're ready to take a chance, if you really then the power is in your own hands. It's the moment of truth. You're giving it all. Standing alone. Willing to fall. If you can do it, get up and prove.
Good morning, 552 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative local 80s movie music. I'm Andrew McKay. I mean, 80s movie music was the best. It really was. It was, you know, sort of trite and cheesy and perfect. Just glorious in all of its musical non-wonder. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
A declaration of no confidence from the floor of the Senate on Thursday for the Netanyahu government in Israel. The top-ranking Democrat in the Senate, New York's Chuck Schumer, said that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has his own political fortunes ahead of the best interests of Israel. He's calling for new elections in Israel, saying the military response in Gaza is turning Israel into a pariah state. The Michigan father charged in connection with that school shooting carried out by his son was found guilty yesterday, James Crumbly, on 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter. That student's mother, Jennifer Crumbly, was also found guilty on the same charges previously. And this is interesting. Former Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin now putting together a bid to buy TikTok. He tells CNBC that he's building an investor group to acquire the video app from ByteDance. This comes, of course, after the House voted on Wednesday to approve the bill that would either force the sale or the ban in the U.S.
It seems a bit of a long shot, but, you know, I mean, weirder things have happened. I remember when people thought it could never happen that anybody could buy Twitter.
And, right, absolutely.
You know, I'm not saying Steve Mnuchin is on the same level as Elon Musk, but, you know, he knows some people. You know, maybe that's how this works. David, thanks so much for the update. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3. So, I know a lot of times for the Transgressors Memorial Service, which comes up at 6:20, the early service, the late service at 8:20, and it's where I pretend to be a woke pastor honoring, commemorating the things that we lost this week in cancellation culture. But sometimes you might think I make these stories up. There's always even worse and weirder stories than I can even get to in the there's always more. I'm always falling behind. For example, this story comes to me this week from, I think this is a New York Post story. They always have the weirdest, best stories. You've got a streamer. Her name is Meow Dalen. Meow Dalen. And Meow Dalen is meow like a cat, but oddly identifies as a dog. she has pastel blankets and pastel pillows in her puppy pen that she sleeps in. Dog cage she sleeps in. She says something about being in a confined space. I don't know. It makes me feel safe from the world. Makes me feel like the world is safe for me, but it feels comfortable for sure. She has 15,000 Twitch followers. Okay. She plays games of fetch. She gnaws on bones. The wonder that comes with play and just being enchanted with lying around you is a beautiful thing. I'm not sure if I ever put two and two together that I had to stop that when I became an adult. I figured that once I made my own money and pay my own rent, then I can extra do anything I want. And I wanted to be a dog. So she has handlers who train her. She says, they feed me, they take me on walks, we practice training, which is one of my favorite things because I get treats. Some people just call it eating.
This can't be real.
No, this is real.
Oh, my goodness.
Have you not been on the internet lately?
You haven't seen meow?
You know, this would make Christmas shopping a whole lot easier.
I went to PetSmart.
This isn't even the outside Christmas of the gift. Range, man. That, where they, what was it, in Munich they had 1,000 dog identifiers get together for a Barktoberfest or something last year? I'm not kidding. I mean, this is for real. And they're not, like, it's a fine line between pretending to be a thing that you know you're pretending to be and then, oh, no, that's me. It's not that fine of a line. You'd think that's a fairly easy line, but that for, you know, I guess there are some people. She says, it's part of our humanity. I think there's a primal animal inside of everybody. Acknowledging my primal animalistic side almost makes me feel more human. Well, it shows. 556 on News Radio 92.3. It's probably not even diagnosable anymore. It's probably just, hey, it's an accommodation. You know, you got to make sure that there's a men's and a woman's and a, you know, a walking area, you know, or, you know, litter box, just in case somebody identifies the other way. I do love the fact that her name is Meow, though. There's a guy in Japan who's got the nickname Good Boy. He just spent $15,000 on hyper-realistic colleague costume to enhance his lifelong dream of becoming last. I mean, just, I'm telling you, the world is full of people. And, you know, God's garden has a lot of interesting flowers in it. Interesting flowers. You look like you wanted to say something, Jake. No, you want to leave this one alone?
Yeah, I'm going to leave this one alone, I think.
So if you're the kind of, I mean, I try to think this thing through. Like, if you're the, I don't know. What if you're the kind of guy that is, you know, sort of into this? You know, do you date her? Do you throw her a bone? Like, what exactly does what exactly does this look like?
Oh,
I mean, man. Does it start to violate some of the laws of nature? I don't know. I don't want to ask too many questions. I just leave it for you to imagine. Maybe we're safer that way. 437-1620. Okay. Have you seen the Trump picture of praying in the church?
No.
So there's a picture that was shared on Truth Social of former President Trump praying in a church. It's a, you know, it's a fairly moving sort of photo, and he just looks reverent. He's got his head bowed, and it's a, I mean, you know, it's Trump praying in a church. Okay, I don't know what to tell you about the details. It's fairly straightforward. He's got his hands in front of him, and he's kneeling in a pew, and there's stained glass behind him. The only problem with it. This is a photo that he shared. He did not produce the photo, but somebody produced it, and he shared it on his own, you know, feed or whatever. He retruthed it, okay? The only problem is the president has five fingers and a thumb in the photo because the photo was generated by AI.
Oh.
And it's not like the president's own team produces. AI apparently has a hard time with fingers. I don't, because there's not as many, there's lots of photos of faces on the internet. There's not as many photos of fingers, so it gets it wrong a lot, which might explain the Kate Middleton stuff, maybe, potentially. Anyway, so the six-fingered man of Princess Bride fame was, Trump became in this photo. Again, he did not produce. I think, if he even noticed, right, probably not. He would probably reshare it just for the fun of it. You know, it'll get people talking about him. Anything that gets people talking about him is good news from his point of view. Now, I know the snarky comment is, well, Trump is so rarely in a church that the only way you can get a picture of him there is by AI with six fingers. But, you know, that's a bit uncharitable, don't you think?
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.